Okay. Well, briefly, let me just tell you, when I was 10 years old, I started playing guitar, and it's kind of when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan and all that, and my friends were playing, and so for years, I just played, and I played full-time. I mean, I played hours and hours and hours, and after I became a Christian, when I was 15 turning 16, I still practiced, but I didn't play in front of anybody, and just went to church, was in the Word, witnessing, just grew in the Lord. And when I was out of high school, I went to Europe for a couple months, shared the Lord, came back, got in a Maranatha music group, the way you mention it, and I was in another one before that, but it was short-lived. And I actually got in as a bass player, and I didn't really care what I played at that time. It could have been kazoo, and I would have been right there. It was a tremendous blessing to, you know, share the Lord and, hey, a stool. To share the Lord and just do whatever. I mean, it was incredible. And little by little, the band kind of changed a bit, and we started doing more electric stuff, so I picked up the electric and played, and after that group, I was in another one, and then another one, and the Lord opened up the doors for me and my wife to go lead in worship at this one weekend thing, and we did, and the Lord led us into that ministry, where I didn't play electric for a number of years. Then it was 4.5 years at Horizon in San Diego, then a month shy of 11 years here, and then about 6 years ago, we moved down to San Diego County and now part of Maranatha Chapel. And it was about, three years ago down there where pastor's name there is Ray Bentley, and he likes what's going on and everything, but he wanted something different from, his dad pastors Calvary Chapel Grass Valley, and he used to be the high school pastor here, and his dad plays electric guitar. He doesn't play leads. He just plays he has a lot of effects and just kind of does. I used to kid him that all he needed is the first two or three strings on his guitar because that's all he ever played. But he was like the best electric guy I've ever played with in my life. And because I'm real picky when it comes to electric guitar because I play. I don't like little tweaky licks, and that's another class. But that's his son, and they're just a blessing. And he's going home now. But anyway, Ray just said he wanted something different in the midweek thing. And so I said, well, he wanted something that had a little bit more of an edge on it. And I said, well, I could pick up the electric. And he goes, yeah. So I was looking for someone to lead in worship, and because I had a hard time doing that and playing electric. It's easier now, but I just prefer to play acoustic guitar when I lead in worship. And so my son does, and I play electric with him on Wednesday nights down there. But when I was at Horizon, which is the first place I went to lead in worship, I had a problem, and that was my fingernails kept breaking because I started finger picking a lot. And my fingernails are real thin, generally, and they last about 2.5 songs. And so my wife told me, back then, this is early 80s, 81, 82, probably 81, about acrylic nails. And I went, what? She told me about them. And I went, no way. And so she said, right up there in the corner, there'll be. So I said, okay. So I went, and I was the second guitar player she did. She was doing a classical guitar player as well. And I've had them for 20 years, and I couldn't play without them. And I'm only bringing it up because I broke one this morning, which is extremely rare for me. It just popped off because it was time, and I'd like to get my money's worth out of them. So I let them grow out as long as I can. So I only have one. So if it sounds a little weird, then just love me because the Bible says to. So anyway, but I wanted to go over some things with you on this real quick. And just the first portion of this time, and This is going to be more than a couple minutes, but it probably won't be more than 15, maybe 20, probably 15. And in a class this size, in a class any size, there's going to be people that are at different levels of playing. And if you know this stuff, you know, what can I say? It's just hard to... Oh, go ahead. Anybody else need some? Oh, there's four more. Could you give them? Thanks. Thanks a lot. There's more than four there. But basically, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about building chords and reading chords out of a songbook. Just a little bit about it. If you know about it, it's like, I know about that. If you don't know about it, it's like, oh man, how boring, I got to use my head. But I'm telling you, it's if you know this stuff, it's so good. And there was a band I was going to be in one time that played all these weird chords that I never played before, and it made me learn them, and it clicked in just like riding a bike. It did, and it's so easy, the stuff I'm going to tell you. And so, again, if you know it, I apologize. And if you don't, then wake up and, you know, give it 15 minutes, okay? Okay, a chord is made up of a first, third, and fifth. It's three notes, a chord. The first, let's just take the key of C, so I don't have to say any sharps or flats, because there aren't any in the key of C. You need one of these? Great.
And we have some in the back of the class in case somebody...
Oh, there's more.
Okay.
Okay, so the first in C is C, okay? The first in the key of A is A. You know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, the major scale. That's what I'm talking about. The first, third, and fifth is the first note in the major scale, the third note in the major scale, and the fifth note of the major scale. So here's C. Okay? Now you can get any book or whatever to show you how to do that scale. But you should learn it. And if you don't know the notes on the neck, you know, please learn it. Please learn the notes on the neck if you don't know it. It's just memorization. It's not fun at all to learn them. It isn't. It's work and all that. But once you learn it, you need to learn it for what I'm going to show you and for playing. It opens up a lot more if you know them. Even the first five frets. Okay, so first, third, and fifth. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight and one are octaves. Okay? So one, two, three, four, five. The first in C is C. The third, remember a chord is a first, third, and fifth. The third is the third note in the C major scale. Because we're talking about the key of C. So one, two, three. What note is that?
E.
Four, five.
G.
G. So first, third, and fifth, C, E, and G. Here's C chord, right? C. I put on lights by mistake. I don't use lights. What?
I don't know. It's really advice. Sometimes I put electric strings on acoustic. That way when I play solos, you don't have to worry about bending too much because it comes naturally.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's a different way to do it. I think I may have done that once, but...
You want to play lead, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it'll definitely be easier to bend that way. But anyway, C chord. C, E, G, C, E. All of those are either a first, third, and fifth, okay? Now, let's just go really quick to the key of D. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, the first in D is?
D.
2, 3, the third of D is what?
F-sharp.
F-sharp. 4, 5, the fifth is A. Okay, so here's a D chord. D, A, D, F-sharp. Now, if I want to do a D2, you see a D2 written in a songbook. Remember, 1 and 8 are octaves, so 2 and 9 are octaves. Okay? So it could say D2, it could say D add 9. Okay? A D2 and a D add 9 are the exact same chords. And all it is a D chord, and if it says 2, you just put the second note of the D major scale into that chord, and it's a D2. The second and 9 are the same, because they're octaves. So if it says D add 9, you just put the 2 or the 9 of that chord, of that key, in that chord, and you have a D2. For example, 1 is D, 2 is E. So here's D. Whatever. So here's D, here's D2, because that's an E string right there, right? So I just added the second note of the D major scale, okay? So here's D, D2, what chord's this? D suspended fourth. It sometimes in a songbook it'll say SUS4 or it'll just say SUS. The suspended is always referring to the fourth. And it's the fourth note. They say fourth because it's the fourth note in the D major scale. It's a fourth note in the major scale. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's a G note. So there's a G note. That's why that's D suspended. D. D2. Okay. D. Now here's C. What's the second note of the C major scale?
D.
Okay, so if I add a D to the C chord, it'll become a C2, right? It will. Or if it's also a C add 9. So if I look at a songbook, let me show it to you. There's a D note, second string, third fret. So here's C. Okay? There's C2. C. C2. And I interchange them. Even if it doesn't say that on the music, I'll play C2 a lot anyway. So, so C and C2. Okay, now the major seventh is the seventh note of a major scale. Is the major seventh. So here's C. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's a B note. Okay? Now your second string is a B string, right? So here's C. Here's C with a B string, with a B note. So that's C major seventh. Now everybody plays this. It's, you know, this is really one of the, you know. You know, it's one of the first things you do, you know. And here's the second string. That's the B note, and that happens to be the seventh note of the C major scale. So that's why this is called a C major seventh. Okay? So here's C. C2. C major seventh. C. Okay? Now, let me just go to the key of D. The major seventh, by the way, is always one half step or one fret flat or down from the root. So if it's in the key of C, it's always a B. If it's in the key of D, it's always a D flat or C sharp. Okay? So there's D. That's D flat. D, D flat. So here's D. You guys ever play this? Well, that's a D major seventh. And the reason it is because you're playing the seventh note of the D major scale on the second string right there. You still have the third, an F sharp. You still have the fifth, which is an A. And you're still playing the root of D, but you're adding the seventh note in the D major scale. Now, the difference between a major and a minor, you guys know, is because of the third. The major third is here. The minor third is a half step down. So here's a D minor. Right? There's D major. Here's a D minor. Now, if you see something that says a D minor sus, a D minor suspended. On the guitar, I mean, what it is, it's this. Isn't the suspended always referring to the fourth? Okay, then the fourth is the fourth if it's a major or minor. The major is only referring to if it's a major third or minor third. So here's the fourth. It's a D, G, excuse me. So here's D minor major seventh, D minor major seventh. Okay? Now here's D major seventh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm doing this right now, and I apologize. So D minor, suspended. Okay. D minor suspended. D suspended. So a D suspended and a D minor suspended are really the same thing, but you write that if you played a D minor before that, or you're going to go to a D minor after that. Just don't let it throw you, and don't throw your songbooks away with the chords above them, or use them to start your barbecue or anything like that. They're not just made for piano players. They're easy chords in there. Now, let me ask you one more chord, and then I want to show you something about bass notes. But here's a D minor, correct? What chord is this? Close.
D minor plus major 7.
D6?
Wait,
it's a minor major 7?
It's a D minor major 7th. Okay? And here's a D minor, but if I add the major 7th note, what is the major 7th note? It's the 7th note in the D major scale. That's always the major 7th note. It has nothing to do with the major 3rd or minor 3rd. One more. That's correct. That's the major seventh note, is one half step down from the root. So here's D minor major seventh, D minor seventh, G, C, C2, G over B, A minor. Okay. Okay, let's move on to something. On this song, on this thing here, what is this first song? Oh, good. This is the one that nobody's sung here yet. Such a beautiful song, though. Gosh, awesome song. Yes? Yeah, I know, but it'll throw off the dots, and nobody else has their guitars on. I'm sorry. I apologize. I debate every time whether... By the way, I have other guitars at home, ones that I don't take out of the house because they're, like, worth more than my car. But I got this guitar, I think, before they made Takaminis. And long time ago, and this thing sounds really, really good through a PA system. And it's an old one. It just has bass and treble. And I've had it for almost 20 years, and if I found one for a live that's better, I would have bought it. It's just, I know it is what it is, but, you know, that's why I have it. I love it. Sounds really good through PA. It always works, and it's got a lot of bottom end, a lot of high end, and the next one to it in the music store didn't. This one just did. And I got it for $380, including tax, including the case, out the door. So that's how long ago I got it, and it's just been awesome. It's got a really good low-end thing, too, and it's just been a really, really neat guitar. So, but it is a half-step low, and I am sorry, but we will give you a moment to tune it if you'd like to.
I like the half-step low.
What?
I like the half-step low.
Yeah. A couple of things, just real quick about the half-step thing. My wife sings, and we have gone in the past many places and still do and minister together. And a lot of the songs that we were doing were in E-flat and D flat, so I tune this E down to a D, and I do those kind of songs. And plus, when I was on staff here, we did a lot of retreats up at the conference center in Twin Peaks, Calvary Chapel Conference Center. And, you know, you get dizzy when you sing there a lot. I mean, it's up in the mountains. And it's just kind of true. And so I tuned low because it was more comfortable to sing. And something that you'll probably find interesting, The Cry is playing tonight. They're going to lead in worship, which they do on Wednesday nights at Maranatha Chapel almost twice a month. But their whole band tunes a half step flat. The bass, everything does. So, and it makes the guitars a lot fatter, and just kind of interesting, something to kind of think about. Well, when I play with real musicians, I have, you know, like with the worship team, I always have the capo on. Always do. So, but I'm leaving them off so we could all, like, look at the dots and not be confused. Yeah?
I used to play long time ago with guys that would tune down a 12 string and then capo it up a fret or two.
Right.
They said that they would do that because of the tension, you know, the thousands of pounds of tension on the neck, and it wouldn't make the neck warp.
Mm-hmm.
True.
12 strings, almost all of them used to be tuned low for that purpose. You would like be told to do that when you bought it. So that's true. Nowadays, I see a lot of them that are tuned up to pitch. It blows my mind that they keep straight.
But pitch.
Yeah, I mean, there's some incredible 12 strings that are made that just seem to be able to do that, and that's great. Some are really, really good. So, but that's why that's right. It did help. Yeah. So, but anyway, when you see, the reason why it's really good for you to learn the notes on the neck and is so that when you see a D, hey, a board. Imagine that in a classroom and everything. Nothing to write with, but that's okay. When you see a D slash F sharp, it's not like you have an option of which chord to play. The F sharp is the bass note. And if you don't know, just always play the one on to always play the chord, the D. But if it has a slash F sharp D over F sharp, G, okay? A sus, A over G, F sharp minor, B minor, over A, E minor, D over F sharp, G, A7 suspended, D. I'm gonna go over that again. Wow. I guess light gauge and tuning a half step low. By the way, just a little, you know, everybody's got their preferences, but just sort of to whine a little bit here and perhaps even bond. Elixir strings break so easy. I'm so tired of them. The nano web, I have found to break easier. Have you guys, or do you even use them?
No,
I don't even have them on for 2 weeks and they break.
Really?
Well, I like the thick Elixir strings, even though they break too, but I found them not to break as much.
Have you tried the Diodero XDs?
Diodero is awesome.
Tell me about them.
It's the Elixirs, they dip the string after it's wound. The Diodero dips the winded string before it's wound onto the solid.
Is it? Do they dip it in a similar stuff?
A similar solution, and it lasts as long as the Elixirs have. And I haven't broken a string. I've broken one in like the six sets I've used. But Elixirs,
What's the name of them? Diodario what?
I think they're EXTs. Yeah, EXTs.
Okay.
EXP.
Extended play.
Oh, you know what? I think I did. I will try them again. I think I did try them. And you found they stay alive as well?
They're more along the line of the sound. bookends down in there. And the lightness you got from Hollywood.
Mm. Wow. Well, I'm still going to try them again. I just wanted to throw that out. A little string tension there. They do?
No, I'm saying the elixir should come up an extra. And pay the price for them.
See, another good string is the blue steel acoustic. I think it's like black steel now, but those are usually pretty good strings.
Blue steel or black steel?
Well,
you know, on
versions now that came out black steel, they usually blue steel is the first one that came out.
Hmm. Man.
They're
fun. Dean Markley.
Dean Markley. On this particular guitar, you know those John Pierce strings?
Yeah.
They sound, man, they're so good on this. They last about 3 days in terms of their brightness, but they're the best on this particular one. But elixirs sound good as well, and I'm going to try those and give those another shot, the extended play thing. But look, here's A, right? What chord is this called? Okay, yeah, it's A over G, okay? And so here's D. What's this?
D2.
D. D2. Now what's this called?
D2.
Uh-huh. D2 over F sharp. Then this. G. This. A over G again. Okay? So, here's E. Well, I don't know. You guys ever do an E like this? You don't? Ever do? Well, anyway. So, when you see those bass notes, and it sounds like most of you know what they are, but A over C sharp, D, you know, E over D. Okay? Here's a D. D sharp, E, and you still have the D in the bass, so here's E over D, and sometimes I'll go, just to give it a little flair, and just so you know, this, we're getting into a few bit of chord inversions here, but when you slide it up another half step, that's D minor 7th, because you got a D in the bass here, so it's D minor 7th. And what sounds really cool is I'm just hammering on the first string. It's still configuration of a D chord. Up two frets, that's E over D. One more fret, that's D minor 7th. Oh, D minor 7th. Okay, so G suspended. E over G sharp, A minor. By the way, what note would I add to an A minor to make it an A minor 2 or A minor add 9?
B.
A B, that's right. So I have a choice, and you have this on a few chords, not every chord because there's only 6 strings on a guitar, but I have a choice. If I'm going to do an A minor 2 or an A minor add 9, I either want to keep the minor 3rd or drop it. Because the 9 or the 2 is a B string. It's a B note. So that's an A minor 9, but there's no 3rd. If I wanted to keep the B, well, there's a B note right there, right? What?
So that's an A minor 2.
That's right. Did I say B minor 2?
No.
Oh, good. I would have believed you if you told me I did. Okay, so this is an A minor 2, but I like to keep the 3rd on there a lot because it's just neat. Well, it can pass for it because if the piano player is doing the 3rd or another guitar guy, or it still works. You can do that. You know, and so, and the same thing with the major. Sometimes that's A major, that's A2. Well, this is A2 as well, but sometimes that's... You know, sometimes I don't want the third. Sometimes I don't want that, because it just sounds a little more... Yeah, a little more rocky. So, but anyway, look. A minor 2. What's this? A minor 2 over G. That's correct. And then this? D what?
D2
over F sharp, right? What's this? Yeah, you probably would write this a D minor 2 over the F, because that's the minor third as well. Okay? Okay, good. Well, then let's just look at some of these chords quick, because it sounds like you guys kind of know this. If you don't, just ask me afterwards, okay? But I don't think there's anything. Oh, and just real quick, I do this a lot, but tie the chords together, because here's G. And when I play G, often, not all the time, if I'm doing this, I do, or sometimes I do, but often I'll just mute the A string. It's just kind of, I don't know, it takes too much work to get it to sound right, and I don't need it right now, you know. So, but I'll hammer on the third string, second fret, and that's a G2. Because A, that's the second note of the G major scale. So I'll go to D, C, sound like you're fancy. But I like to do these things that tie the chords together, you know? Because that's in it, because that D note is in a G chord. So here's G, G2. Now that's still a G chord. I'm just, the D is the fifth of a G. So it's a G2 right here. It also looks kind of like a D2 over G, but it's a G2. So here's G2. You know? Just kind of tie them together. Some chord inversions real quick. Let me just show you this. You guys probably all know this stuff because I found that there's people that I know don't, but it just seems like with a lot of people, like my kids, they learned these chords almost first because they didn't take as many fingers to play. And it kind of bothered me at first because I wanted them to be able to play. I wanted them to know what to play right. And my oldest son started on classical piano because my wife drove that home and made him learn it. And then he heard this instrumental thing by Michael W. Smith and loved it and then just learned it. I mean, Evan can hear a song and play it the first time. He'll almost remember every word and the melody. And he can just go, oh, that's an F sharp over the third with a raised fifth. I know what that is. He could totally hear all that stuff. And so he just applied everything to the guitar, all that theory he had, and he's really, really a good guitar player. And that's what he's a junior high pastor at Calvary Vista, and he also leads in worship there often, and that's what he mainly does, is play guitar, excuse me. But he knows those kind of chords. He knows all that. Philip didn't even pick up a guitar till after we moved down to San Diego area, and he got this many songs from the junior, you know, just stack of songs from the junior high pastor, and almost everyone had wrong chords. But I'm looking at them, and they were like tons of passing chords cut out, and all kinds of real simple stuff. But I just didn't want to, you know, quench anything. So I just kind of stayed out of it. He was in his room for like, man, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, just learning these worship songs to just lead worship in the junior high and help out. And but he learned all these kind of chords. This E, and I left spots on the paper so you could, if you needed to make your own little things there. But so many songs. I can't tell you how many songs are written with these chords. It's like, you know, and I was concerned, honestly, because I wanted them to be able to, you know, if a song needed to just have a normal chord in it, I wanted to be able to do it. And they've learned that, so I'm grateful. But this chord's used all the time. Okay, I just have my first finger on the E note of the A string. Okay? 9th fret, 7th fret of the 5th string. That's E. Okay? Then my 3rd finger on the 9th fret of the 4th string. And my little pinky on the 9th fret of the 3rd string. And that's E. Now this E happens to have no third in it. It's just E, E, B, E, B, E. First, first, fifth, first, fifth, first. Sometimes you'll see in a music it'll say E, then it'll go no 3. It means no third. It's kind of a rock thing, you know.
E5.
What?
E5?
No, just E.
I see E5 also.
Huh. I don't remember that. Okay. So that's an E. Let me show you one more E like that, and that's this one. Okay. Now what I'm doing is I'm barring the 4th string and the 5th string on the 2nd fret. So I have, and then I have my pinky on the 4th fret of the 3rd string. That's another way of doing an E, but it doesn't have a third. This, take your pinky off, that's an E suspended. Okay? So here's an E. If you bring this down to here, it's a C sharp minor 7th. Okay? And then remember this A2. These are open chords and inversions of it. And this is a B sus because of the high E. Now what I've heard in a lot of like stuff, I've heard it in Passion CDs, and is the keyboard guy will be doing a B chord. I hear it on the synth, but the guitar guy will be letting his E string ring out. And I would never have done that before, where you have, you know what I mean? This kind of thing. Is it a B chord or is it a B sus? Shouldn't we kind of be doing all the same thing together? But I hear it on these live worship albums, and I hear it on some of these studio things too, like I said, from Passion or Kill Songs or, I don't know, that third day probably even does it. I mean, these guys, they all do that. And my ear, honestly, because of where I live, meaning hearing my kids play all the time, I've gotten used to it. So my ear's been accustomed to the sound, but generally it's not something, if I knew it was going on in the worship team, I would correct it. So, but you can do whatever you want. This is a B. That really is a B sus, because you have this high E ringing out. But if it's in the key of E, it just sounds neat to have a... chord, right? You guys ever do that for F sharp minor? Okay, well, a lot of people, it's almost just the E position, but it is warm, isn't it? Okay, let me show you this. I was just going to tell you one thing about it, but I'll wait for a moment. Let me just show you this chord, because a lot of people play it. Okay, here's E, you move up, here's F sharp minor, right? Okay, unbar it, and just put your number one finger on the third string, second fret. That's an open way of doing F sharp minor. Chords only really work in the key of E. If you're used to playing an F sharp minor like that and you like the open sound of it, that's great. But don't play it in another key. Because it just... Don't play with a keyboard.
In our church, we have an old-fashioned organ, piano, and my guitar. If I do that, they just say, what do you do?
Well, you can tell them. You can tell them. If you know, tell them you have the first and second string open, and see if they can't add to what they do. Because you can still do it. By the way, this is also an A2. Okay? It's a real simple. You guys know this chord, right? Okay, good. Well, so these are just some chord alternate things here. Okay? Also, just a quick little thing, like on Open the Eyes of My Heart. You guys ever do a B like this? Then A over C sharp. If you have questions about it when we're done, come here and I'll write the fingering in your little chord diagram for you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just putting it in the bass note, though. Also, yeah, that's E major seventh. It's actually called a. That's an E major seventh. So, and then this, but. Uh, B over A, B, and then up here again, you're back to A2, okay? This is with your third string is the ninth fret, number one finger. Your fourth string is the 11th fret, number three finger. That's another way of doing A2. Catch a harmonic there. Okay? Good.
I've always been just a little bit weak on all those open things. I mean, once I know them, I don't have trouble playing them. I just never learned them all. Is there any kind of chord chart I could get that would show me?
Oh, they have... You know what? If I knew the web page, I'd tell you there's a couple of them that you type in any chord and it'll show you. There's so many books out on these open chords.
Yeah, never ran across them, I guess.
Yeah, they are around. And you know what you could do?
Are they put out especially for the open?
Yeah, they are.
Mixed in with other chords.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. If you wanted to email me and specifically ask for stuff, I will, and you put certain chords down, or you talk about this time together and name off some of these open chords, or just even say open chords. I'll know what you're talking about. I'll put them in the mail to you. Okay? Okay. Yeah, I'll be glad to do that. Yeah, my email's there. And feel free. I check my email all the time, all through the day. So, and I won't put them on an attachment. I'll probably put them in the mail to you or fax them to you either way. It's really easy. I just don't think I have them hard copy. I don't have them on the computer. But I'll just make them up for you if you'd like that. If you guys, you know, I don't know what kind of... I just want to talk about this just a little bit. I know there's been a lot of talk about, at different times, little one-liners about the relationship that we have with our sound people. And I really appreciated what... was said, I believe it was yesterday, how they are part of the worship team. And it was challenging, I'll tell you, in that respect, when we were on staff here. Because I was here, like I said, a month shy of 11 years. We had at least 10, and I'm thinking 11 different sound people in that time. And there were guys that were very young at what they did. Some weren't. Well, they all pretty much were, but some had a little experience, and some were pretty good. Most weren't. They were here because, you know, they showed an interest in it. They were available, and honestly, they didn't have that many expenses, so they didn't cost that much. And I'm just telling you the truth. They could do it for that. I remember one sound man we had, he literally did not even know where the on switch was to the PA. He had to wait for a guy to come to show him where it was. But there's nothing I could do about it. It's just, you know, here as this is home, this is where I receive the Lord, this is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is it. As far as that goes, but, you know, because it's so big and there's so many people involved and so many needs, there's a lot of changing of the guards on different other things like this. So I was, and things have changed since we've left, but just to give you a little bit of a hint of an idea of what I had to sort of deal with. And I am getting to a point here, but I want to tell you about your sound person. But they were told when they first came on by a particular guy who kind of oversaw the thing, was don't ever listen to us. They were told that. And, you know, and you laugh because of how ridiculous that is, but it's the truth. And it took me 3 months to be friends, just to befriend them. I did this almost every year because we had 10 or 11 of them. So, and things were so much better when we talked, but it took a while. And when they realized that I didn't think they were lower than dirt, and when they thought I was like really had like a pulse, you know, I was a real person, and it was a blessing. But it took work. I think a little bit more than the normal because of the changing so often. But to be able to talk and to just sit down eyeball to eyeball and really get input across to them on what the ministry is about and what you're trying to do. And like I finger pick a lot, which I haven't done today because of this, but I do. And I start songs that way all the time. And sometimes when I'm strumming hard, the volume is down. Or it's not like, you know, I if you got a whole band up there, I don't want the acoustic guitar to be here and everything else to be here. I just don't want that. It's just, but if I start a song, the guy's going to have to actually mix. You know what I mean? Right. Actually do something other than going to get a donut or something. So you need to talk that over with he or she or whoever does your sound. And you know, be friends. And you know, man, it's so, so very important to do that. Yeah.
One idea I have on stage, sometimes I'll play with the pedal like the compression sustainer and it boosts the signal. And so if you turn it on and off, if you're going to do a solo, that way the sound man is going to boost the sound for you. Even if it's any kind of pedal with a higher volume, you can use that as a solo for playing solos.
Good. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a sound guy up at Christian at the youth camp to reevaluate. And I've come to know that if there is any strife between worship team and sound guys, the best thing to do is just to get together and pray with them. Just give it to the Lord, and you'd be surprised. I've had guys come up there, and they'll tell me what they want, and I'll try to give them what they want. Well, I need more. You know, the system up there is going south anyway, real quick. But the best thing to do, communication, people. Communication. Get on the same page. The main page is pray.
That's good. How many of you lead in worship here? And how many of you are like play along in a worship team and don't necessarily? Do you ever use capos and play a different part? You do? That's good. That's what we did here when we had a couple of guitar guys. Every once in a while we do that at Maranatha Chapel, but we have a really, I think, a pretty good sound situation at Maranatha. We talk all the time, and it's really different. You know, we moved there, and I was asked. It's like the reverse. They're telling me, do you want any better monitors? And we already have great ones. And they go, when we move into the new building, should we bring these or you want us to buy all new ones? And I'm like, oh, we could hear ourselves out of these. They'll be fine. And they just all looked at each other and laughed because they usually didn't get that response, you know. And but it's a blessing. It's a blessing to work together and to focus on the ministry and the people being served, the people being serviced. You know, the fact that, that try and get the sound equal throughout the sanctuary, it's so important. And for me, and I don't know how you guys operate, but I always make sure that the acoustic guitar is like everywhere that it needs to be heard because I lead out so many songs. And you know, if they don't hear it, and sometimes I walk over to their monitor and it's pretty low, but they say it's loud enough, and I go, well, if it's loud enough, that's fine. But if the vocals are dragging or something, you know, we have a long stage. Our stage is probably as long as this room is I mean, it's long, our stage. It's long. I mean, and we're like so far apart from each other sometimes. So when you guys set up, you know, to have the monitors all spread out. Also, it's very important, and I'm just kind of saying this stuff in closing, then if you guys want me to write any numbers down or any questions or any whatever you want to say, it's so important for you guys to really keep each other on your worship team in prayer, to really pray for each other. One of the best ways to get love for someone is to pray for them, to really hold them up before the Lord and keep them in prayer pray for your own heart too, that God would just prepare you for the following weekend. At rehearsals, we always pray for the following weekend. We like to do that. And I always just, I just always like to pray that people would, when they enter the parking lot, would just long to come before the Lord with the rest of the body of Christ and to pray for them. I'd also just encourage you and to encourage those who you minister with to be respectful of each other's, be respectful of others. And I'm kind of mean their time, to be on time and to learn your parts. And I know people have different things pulling on their lives. And we have some people on the worship team who are never on time. But I have to tell you that we've tried to make everybody on time, but everybody isn't the same. I think patience is majorly important, because I'm not going to set, and others can, and if you feel a need to do it, then, you know, so be it. But I haven't set a real hard standard that if you're late, you know, then we'll dock your pay or something, you know. That's a joke. But or they can't be on the worship team, or they can't sing this. Because I just know there's other things that take their time. You know, there's kids, there's traffic, there's a workload. There's things that that they deal with that I personally don't have to deal with, because I'm already there. And that is my job. And with rehearsal, we rehearse. Almost everybody brings a little tape recorder and hopefully makes notes. They don't make as many notes, certain don't, that I would like them to, so I kind of remind them. And they will pick up a pen and make some notes. But they listen to the tapes, they practice. And sometimes there are certain weeks that go by where they just didn't get to the tape and they think they know the song well enough. And it shows up in the following sound check that they don't know their parts. And these aren't like 15-year-olds who need to be told. They're adults, so I know they know it. And I also know that they've had things going on in their lives, you know. And so the idea is that we're not, you know, I'm not trying to make some super group. It's just not what it's about. It's a church, and we're a fellowship. We're a fellowship of believers, and we're there. We rehearse. People that come to rehearsal want to make it sound so good, and they all do. But if somebody makes a mistake, if I think it's a mistake, I'll stop right in the middle of the song, not during the service, but I'll stop right in the middle of the song during the sound check, and we'll have 10, 11 people at once, kind of thing. And it's all gone and everything. We'll stop right there, and I'll just say, somebody sang this or whatever. Who did that? Or it was somebody over there. And I'll just say, the purpose of me asking that is only to find out, do you know what the right way is? If you know what the right way is, then fine, let's move on. Because it was just a mistake. It was just a mental speed bump thing, you know what I mean? I don't care about those. I make mistakes. I make mistakes, you know. Mistakes are mistakes. They happen. And they definitely, a good portion of them, or I should say a portion of them, can be avoided by preparation and rehearsal. That's true. But mistakes still come. But if they don't know what they're supposed to do, then, to be honest with you, I do get frustrated because we did have a rehearsal, and but you still live and learn, and you still, the greatest of these is love, But I'd encourage you, if you're not on time, to be on time, and to encourage your people to, and really, really pray for each other. Really do that. Anyway, if you guys want any of these chord inversions or any of these type things written down, if you want one or two chords, I could do that now. If you want more than that, then you can email me and I'll give you the email, or you can go to Maranatha Chapel's webpage and get me, and I'll be glad to send you anything.
What's the email? Maybe you could just say it once and we can all get
it. John is John dot Wickham, WICKHAM, at maranathachapel.org. It's a long one, but John.Wickham at maranathachapel.org. Okay? And that's correct. And if I would have had an amp or PA, I would have done a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's okay. So you guys are dismissed unless you have anything you want to talk about or anything.
I'll just wait until
this. Oh, okay.
Just make sure I got the right.
Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you guys. That's
I just abbreviated.
That's correct.
No, this I put AT on the.
No, you just do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm still learning how to do computers. So.
Well, you can just call me too.
Oh, one question. Was that the correct F minor?
F sharp minor. Yes,
is that
it's
correct?
F sharp.
And that was the E you were playing.
It's F sharp minor 7.
Because
the E is a 7. Mm-hmm. But that's a B note too.
Right.
So it's really that's actually the fourth. So it's an F sharp minor 4th. F sharp minor 7th with this 4th in there. But that's an open chord because those two E strings ringing out. That's the first.
This one's dead.
That's correct.
Okay.
Just for ease.
Yeah, I got more than you have time for. I just was.
Well, go ahead and give me. Where do you live?
I live in Crestline. Well, but your computer will be in Apple Valley.
Well, you know what? If you get a little confused on the email, feel free to call me at the chapel. I'll call you back, and you can spend a minute,
okay.
2 minutes. And I'll write
that
down the name.
That was that E you were playing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is.
Okay,
and I do this a lot. I'll do like, see, you have that barred.
Yeah.
I'll do one to show you the finger it is.
Yeah.
This is 4. Yeah.
Okay.
It's yours.
Oh.
All right.
Thanks,
hey, John, got a
yes.
quick question about
yeah.
your acrylic
yeah.
nails, because my nails go so quickly, it's insane. So what is it? They just tack on that?
I go to a nail place with all these women around, and I go in, I say, I need 2 nails, and they all giggle about the first 2 or 3 visits, and then I just walk in, they go, oh, 2 nails? No, she'll take you right now.
What is it?
And I've had it for 20 years. I think dentists used to fill teeth with it about 30 years. I mean, it's just a powder. Are you married?
Yes.
Ask your wife.
No, just curious. It's the first time I've heard, because I have all the, I've...
I know so many guys that have these. Bill Batstone, who played with Hans, he has them. I mean, many guys do. I have to. I tried finger picks, but the finger picks only bend one way. And I do my fingers both ways. I hold a pick and I do fingers both ways. And those picks would catch in the strings. They don't go both ways.
Mm.
So this is like, the only hard part is when the kids were little and we'd wrestle. and
no, actually, this is bad. And I go, oh,
rip
no,
my
you're
fingers
an alien.
Off. So, oh, it hurts.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
God bless you.
All right.
Teresa Mitchell used to do acrylics.
Oh no way, yeah. Really?
Could you show me an E with a G sharp bass?
Yes.
That won't.
Yeah, here's
kill
a couple
me.
Ways to do. It. Well, here's a couple ways. This way will probably kill you.
I know one way, and it.
It's like this, and then that.
Oh well, no. Okay.
Well, that's how I see a lot of guys do it.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Okay.
I just don't do it that way.
Yeah.
Here's that E I was showing you about.
Right. And adding the, yeah. Okay.
Part of this finger mutes the fifth string.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes I do that. Most
right.
of the time I just do this.
Oh, okay.
Because it's less work.
Yeah. That looks a little easier on my palm.
And I'll do that a lot for F sharp minor.
Right.
Sometimes I do that, sometimes that, or that. A, but I just put the F sharp.
Right, with
in
an
it.
F sharp bass, yeah. Now the open chords, I would be really interested in that. How many pages is it? If I had you fax it to me,
I'd have to count them. But it doesn't matter. I'll do it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Or mail, either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just yeah.
Okay. And the open chords, do they work in any? Key or really just
well,
an E?
No, not just an E. It's like here's A2, that's always an A2.
Right.
A2 and A is often all like. I mean, you know, so. This is a C sharp minor 9. E9. They don't. They can work in other keys too. You just, you know, but they're fun to do. And here's another. This is what I do on the electric. I don't do it on acoustic at all. But that's another G.
Right.
It's just full. There's no third in it. You know. So. But I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was just asking. Advice.
Yeah.
Like when I learned how to play guitar, I kind of learned from, you know, those garage punk bands. And hey, it's good enough for the Ramones. It's good enough for me. So you know, I three chords, and I play a lot of the open chords that you're playing. So I have like no formal like music theory or any kind of. What's the most effective and the easiest and quickest way to learn to pick that up? Because I'm 26. I've been playing since I was 12. And I've been really lazy, and then when I came to the Lord, I just learned what I need to learn to play worship.
Okay.
You know, and now I'm starting to realize that, you know, man, I need to be a little bit a better steward with this gift that God's given me. So what would you recommend for being able to pick that
okay.
up?
Okay, if you want the quickest way and the best, it would need someone that knows what you're talking about, knows what you're asking for, to sit down with you and eyeball to eyeball kind of thing, and show you a half hour to an hour a week. That's really the best. Whether you pay them or not, they could be a friend of a friend. They could be a teacher, whatever. You know, that's the best. You know, short of that, it's more along the lines of, you know, getting videos and doing the books and that kind of stuff. But I really feel that if you had a teacher pushing you, it would be quick. And I know it gets into some bucks, but I don't think it would take very long.
So, I mean, I have a basic understanding. I know how to play. I mean, I feel comfortable. You know,
I really think if you had a drive to do it and somebody else understood what you were asking for, I don't think it'd take more than 2 months of lessons.
Really?
Maybe even spread out over six, maybe one every, maybe one a week for a month and then one every couple of weeks. I don't know, for a few months. I don't think it would take like the rest of your life or put away, you know, however much for lessons.
Do you think it's pretty easy to learn how to train your ear to hear? You know, I mean, to an extent.
That's a good
like what
question.
You're talking about Evan, I don't think I could ever be like that. But I mean, do you think Evan, that the ear can be trained to?
You know, with the time, I mean, you've already been playing 14 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Yeah, 14 years.
So you've heard a lot in terms of where chords go.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I just have a really lazy ear to where I, you know, I use a tuner and I read chords and I don't ever really exercise that. So I don't know if it's something you're born with or if it's something you develop, or I've never experienced that ability mm-hmm. before. You know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think there's a number of people in the middle that could develop their ear.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's people that, you know, forget it. Mm-hmm. They're gonna always need either lyric sheets or chord sheets, and there are those that are I know a guy, Daryl Cook. He played bass with Hans.
Mm-hmm.
He has perfect pitch. I've known him for so long. I mean, since the 70s. And I said, Daryl, name these. I said, and he goes, that's da 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 da. He named off every note. He doesn't sing.
Wow.
He's not a singer. He just
can hear.
He was born with it.
Wow.
And I know another guy, Pete Jacobs, who was not born with it, but because he's like an orchestrator
mm-hmm.
and has been involved, immersed himself in it since for years, decades and decades, his ears become attuned to it.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah, I've just been realizing lately my lack of musical ability, partly to laziness and just partly to, you know, lack of training. And every time I hear you or Phil or Evan, I don't play for like a week.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's discouraging sometimes.
I really think that you'd get so much out of someone sitting down with you and aggressively giving you what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would, well, I don't know. I don't know who it would be.
Yeah, because we just moved out to a little podunk town in Colorado, and we're originally
from. What is it?
Grand Junction.
Oh, been there.
Yeah, so it's kind of a rural area. So a lot of the stuff I get is off the internet, and so I guess I should have cashed in on that experience when I was working with, you know, some of the bigger Calvaries, but I just never did.
Well, you know how to play regular chords, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I can play all that stuff. It's just, I don't
know.
Do you know
a major scale?
I don't. I do know some, like I play around with some of the scales, but I feel like I'm trying to speak a language that I don't know. I don't know that much about theory or chord structures, or I don't know the notes. You know, every note on the fret, and so it's kind of like, I don't know how it happened this way, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like, you know, now I'm feeling that, you know, there needs to be a little bit more stewardship if I'm going to be doing worship. So
mm-hmm.
God's kind of lit a fire under me the last couple of months. So,
mm.
So I have that, you know, tenacity that I want to learn, but I'm frustrated because I'm like, you know, 26 years old, and, you know, it's like, how could I have not learned this stuff?
See, what's weird is right now I'm thinking of some things that if I had time, then I could show you, and I know you'd get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean in 5 or 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but I don't mean a whole lot longer than that either.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be neat to do it. But if you could, you know, find somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if it's once a month,
mm-hmm.
driving, taking a 2-hour drive and driving to another city, mm-hmm. there's somebody you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and spending an hour with them.
Do you have any kind of videos that you've done at all? Or?
No, but I should. I think
I'll
I don't know
you
what
some
to
videotapes and some money.
I don't know what to cover on it.
Yeah,